The waters off Australia's coast hold ancient secrets. In Cumber Bay, where colonial ships once delivered Irish convicts to strange shores, something still calls to certain women from beneath the waves. Lucy, a journalism student with a rare condition that makes water contact painful, arrives at her estranged sister Jess's weathered cliff house to find her missing. Instead, she discovers disturbing paintings that mirror Lucy's own inexplicable dreams, women walking into the sea toward a ship with a mermaid figurehead. These images trigger something primal in Lucy, connecting her to two Irish sisters transported as convicts aboard a ship called the Naiad in 1801. As she investigates her sister's disappearance, Lucy uncovers a pattern of men vanishing from Cumber Bay over decades, and a family secret that will transform her understanding of herself and her connection to the sea. Lucy and Jess share more than sisterhood. They both suffer from aquagenic urticaria, causing painful reactions when their skin contacts water. This affliction serves as both burden and metaphor for their complicated relationship with their bodies and the mysterious sea that calls to them. Their connection is marked by distance and unspoken truths. Investigating Jess's disappearance, Lucy discovers their condition isn't merely medical, but hereditary in ways science can't explain. The webbing between their toes, strange skin markings, and inexplicable dreams connect them to the marrow creatures of Irish folklore, beings who move between human and aquatic forms. For Lucy and Jess, their bodies hold ancestral memories their minds can't fully comprehend. Their skin's reaction to water isn't rejection, but transformation waiting to happen. This inheritance passes from mother to daughter, offering both the pain of difference and the power of transcendence. The novel's backdrop, Australia's colonial history, provides crucial context for understanding the character's displacement. In 1788, British ships arrived on shores inhabited by Aboriginal peoples for over 65,000 years. The transportation of 162,000 convicts devastated Indigenous populations through violence, disease, and cultural erasure. This history creates complex moral territory. Irish convicts were victims of British imperial power, yet became participants in Aboriginal dispossession. Many had experienced the Great Famine and British penal laws, only to become unwitting agents in another people's suffering. Through this lens, we see how oppression creates ripples beyond immediate victims. What happens when the oppressed become unwitting oppressors? The novel examines how colonial violence ripples through time, affecting both those directly displaced and descendants who inherit privilege and guilt. The fictional Cumber Bay, inspired by traditional Walligaranja land, becomes a microcosm for exploring questions of belonging, identity, and survival in a land built on dispossession. Here's a more TTS-suitable version that maintains the key insights while using more appropriate language. Resilience and Justice, Examining Power Dynamics Across Time. Throughout history, societal power imbalances have shaped women's experiences and responses. Both historical and modern narratives demonstrate how institutional structures can enable misconduct while also revealing paths to empowerment and change. In the historical timeline, an encounter between Byrne and Mary near a stream leads to a pivotal confrontation, resulting in the Cassane sisters facing transportation. The journey aboard the Naiad reveals how institutional authority figures misused their positions against vulnerable passengers. These incidents reflect broader systemic issues within historical power structures. The contemporary narrative examines professional misconduct through Cameron Hennessy's inappropriate relationship with a student. His behavior follows documented patterns of authority abuse, targeting vulnerable individuals, misusing trusted positions, and manipulating emotional needs. The women in these narratives demonstrate remarkable agency and resilience. Mary and Eliza discover transformative abilities that allow them to protect others. Jess reclaims her power through confrontation. Lucy challenges institutional policies that failed to address digital privacy violations. The novel explores themes of institutional accountability and justice, weaving supernatural elements with social commentary while examining complex moral questions about retribution and healing. The revelation that Jess is Lucy's biological mother rather than her sister dramatically transforms their relationship. This secret, maintained by their parents to protect both daughters, has shaped their identities and created distance between them. When teenage Jess discovered her own adoption papers, she experienced an identity crisis that left her vulnerable to manipulation. Similarly, Lucy's discovery forces her to reconsider everything about herself and her family. While secrets may be kept with good intentions, they often inflict their own damage. Yet, the novel avoids simplistic moral judgments about these family deceptions. When Lucy learns the full truth, that Jess gave birth to her in a sea cave as a teenager, that officials threatened to take Lucy away, and that the family decided to raise her as Jess's sister, she understands their impossible choices. Despite learning Jess is her biological mother, Lucy still feels their connection as sisters, recognizing that shared experiences and love matter more than conventional labels. Their bond transcends categories, revealing how family is ultimately defined by love rather than biology. The sea serves as a powerful metaphor throughout, embodying both danger and salvation. This duality is captured in the local saying, "The sea gives, but it also takes." For the Kissan family, water represents both peril and power. Their father warned about the dangers of water and Tir Fo Thuin, the land beneath the waves, while their mother, a mysterious woman with seal-like eyes, came from the sea. This contradictory heritage reflects the sea's dual nature in Irish folklore as both mortal danger and magical possibility. The sea separates Mary and Eliza from their homeland during transport to Australia, yet becomes their true home when they transform into Murrow creatures. The shipwreck that should have killed them instead liberates them to embrace their maternal heritage. Lucy and Jess have complicated relationships with water. Their skin condition makes it painful, yet they're inexplicably drawn to it. Lucy finds herself at water's edge, feeling like a fish with a hook through its gut. The sea itself resembles memory, sometimes calm, sometimes violent, hiding depths beneath its surface. When Lucy finally enters the ocean with Jess, it represents immersion in truth, painful yet ultimately freeing. The novel celebrates storytelling's power to preserve memory, create connection, and transform pain into meaning. Characters use various forms of expression to communicate hidden truths and make sense of experiences. Jess processes her identity through paintings. Her exhibition, The Sirens, externalizes her connection to the Murrow creatures and maternal heritage, expressing what she cannot articulate in words. Lucy pursues journalism to uncover truth and achieve justice. Despite her university career ending in scandal, she finds another path to storytelling, ultimately planning to write about the forgotten women of the Naiad after centuries of obscurity. Mary and Eliza preserve their Irish heritage through oral storytelling aboard the prison ship. Mary describes their surroundings to blind Eliza, maintaining her connection to the world. They share personal histories to maintain their humanity amidst terrible conditions, reflecting Mary's father's belief that storytelling is God's gift to humans alone. We are all storytellers, weaving narratives to make sense of our lives. By giving voice to forgotten women, convicts, mothers, daughters, survivors, we honor their experiences and ensure they're not lost to history.